Faces, Heels, and Tweeners. Sunday night's main event proudly brings to you the East Coast podcasting champions of the world, Brad the Dad and Greg Father Feltham, your Smack Daddies.
Hello, friends, and welcome to your SmackDown review for Sunday night's main event. And the regular theme song is back, which means that I am Brad the Dad and Riding Shotgun, returning from parts unknown, Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
Oh, and Greg came back. Sean Burkhead must have not, he must have left air holes in the box he put you in.
Yes, yes. I'm like a staph infection that a Z-Pak doesn't cure. I'm still here.
Oh, the CM Punk references begin right away. Wait, does that mean that Sean Burkhead is a Z-Pak?
I don't know.
That's what I'm going with. Sean Burkhead, you are a Z-Pak. All right. Greg, how have you been? It's been 2 weeks.
Oh, Bradley. How have I been? Well, let's see. Last Friday night, while you and Berkey were watching SmackDown, I was tied up at a work event.
Oh, you were tied up at a work event?
Not literally.
Did HR... Oh, okay, so HR wasn't
involved. Literally, yeah. Okay. No. Actually, I got out of Dodge as quick as I could out of that. Both myself and my wife were attending that event. We left that, picked up supper, because the food there was terrible. And then we headed to a lacrosse arena on the way home. My wife in her dress, me in a suit, rolling into a lacrosse arena partway through a game to check in on things. Came home, spent Saturday in a classroom learning how to coach lacrosse, a sport I have never played, but apparently I now coach. On Sunday, I was out doing the on-floor part of the exercise of the lacrosse coaching course, during which on the, I believe, second drill of the morning, I ended up falling flat on my face.
Oh.
And, of course, my son in the stands videotaped this. So, I fall and bruise my ego as well as probably some other body parts. But yeah, no, so that was kind of my week. And then, this weekend has been nice because my mom is up, my niece is up, and her mother, my sister, and my brother-in-law, and they're up for a hockey tournament. So I took today off and spent the day watching hockey and chauffeuring my mother around the city. And we'll be doing the same thing tomorrow. So that's the extent of what you've missed in the world of Greg in the last 2 weeks, I think.
So let's see. I sometimes I feel like it's better to be good than lucky. By the way, I got to make this joke before we move on. You know what they say about those who can't do?
They teach, yeah.
And do you know what they say about those who can't teach?
They become school administrators.
No, they teach university.
Oh, fair.
Usually the education department.
Fair.
So I had like crazy couple event nights. I got stuck in the crazy Halifax traffic. For those of you who want to Google that, you can Google Halifax bridge accident where we had a tractor trailer fall off of a bridge.
Yes, yeah. Luckily no one got hurt in that. I was actually seeing how that was going to affect me going to the airport to pick up my mother at the time. So luckily it didn't, which was nice. But yeah, that was an interesting Thursday.
So I was going to go to the Chop Chicken place on North Street here in the city, try it. And my wife and I we left our house at 4:15 to get someplace for 5:30. And we got there at 5:33. Which is from my house to St. Agnes is about a 15 minute drive, maybe 35, 40 in traffic.
Yeah.
And it took us an hour and a half.
Yep.
Welcome to Halifax. When the bridge, when traffic goes bad at rush hours, we only have two or three exit points. So good luck.
Oh, I tell you, no, it can be a pain.
work remotely. Like, it's, I think there's a real, I think those should be like perks. People want, like, I would take $5,000 less a year if you told me I didn't have to drive.
You know what? We're going to put the link to that story of the transport truck full of rocks falls off bridge in the show notes.
Okay, good. Because that is definitely a thing. And it's just, yeah. So, but other than that, it was like busy. I also got very lucky in the sense that my boss needed to talk to a local politician. And said local politician, I know very well. And was like, how can I connect with him? And I'm thinking about it as I'm driving my son out to the airport, who's currently on his Europe trip. He is over in Greece, and he'll be moving, making his way to Italy, and then go see El Papa. And I told him to say yo for me. But that gentleman, I always forget, his daughter is a classmate of my son. We ran into each other at the airport. We exchanged niceties. He's involved with government. And yeah, at the end of it, I go back to my office, tell my boss what insider information I now have, or a little bit of stuff. So we had a great, and my boss teases me. He's like, you know, you're more valuable than a $10,000 PR firm.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyways, things are moving. Things are happening. It's good. It's all very good. Like half my head, like, did I leave that vague enough, Greg, so that the people, nobody will figure this out?
Yeah, I think you're fine.
Okay. Well, if not, meh. So anyways, that was my week. It was sometimes you're good, sometimes you're lucky, and sometimes you're a little bit of both. So, and now it's Friday. It's a long weekend here. For some reason, I thought there was a PLE this weekend or a pay-per-view from AEW, and it's all next weekend.
It's all next weekend, dude.
Yeah, and like everything's next weekend. The Paul fight, the, like, everything. Yeah.
Just park yourself in front of a TV next weekend.
Yeah, and it's going to start with a SmackDown Saudi Arabia.
Yes. SmackDown Saudi Arabia next Friday. Not pre-recorded, but we'll get coverage up for you as quick as we can.
So, what do you think about the injury bug in WWE? I thought we would just chit-chat about this, because there seems like this King of the Ring tournament has been bit by the injury bug.
It seems like everyone, it's at the point, I hate to say it this way, that, you know, maybe it's a cynical, you know, angry man shakes fist at cloud, but I'm starting to wonder how many of these are legitimate injuries and how many of these are works, because there's just so many.
Yeah, so we had Bobby Lashley, Asuka, Zelina Vega. I mean, Xavier is definitely a work. Yeah. But yeah, like, it was like, it's a ton of people that were just decimated from this tournament.
Yeah, everyone. Everyone is
injured. Jimmy. That's right, because Jimmy was Drew was out with his elbow, and Jimmy replaced him.
Yeah.
So I don't know what
Jimmy, but yeah.
And yeah, what wildness we have going into this episode of SmackDown with all that, Greg. You know what we need to do?
What do we need to do?
We need to start with recap number one.
Before we even do that, Brad. This is episode 1,291 of SmackDown from Jacksonville, Florida. So we're 9 weeks away from 1,300 episodes.
Wow. Greg, do you know that they didn't even say where they were from when they did the house show recap showing us who got where and all the King of the Ring stuff from last week? I got to ask you a question. Then we had the walk-ins. Do you like this? Like, I think I used a fancy word in my notes. It was like this cinematic effect. Do you enjoy the new cinematic effects being used by the new production team?
Meh. I don't even know if I noticed it, if I'm being honest with you. I don't know if I really noticed it to a point where it caught me as that this is new and good. So yeah.
Match number one tonight is Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton. Greg, this is where the jokes begin.
Brad, I've got to be good.
No, you can. I. This is the jokes. Courtesy tonight are from one Madame Boudreaux, aka the wifey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So Tiffany Stratton comes out, and
so hold on, before we even start that, I've got to ask, what is your wife, how does your wife feel about Tiffy Time?
Oh, you're gonna get it right now. So she's not seen Tiffany before.
Okay, because my wife, as you recall, referred to her as a new member of the Plastics.
Oh, my wife, I think, because she saw your wife's Plastics and raised you. Well, I said, hey, look, it's Tiffany Stratton. Why do you think people like her? And she goes, she's got big boobs, without even missing a beat. And I said, no, it's because she can do flippy stuff. And my wife says, yeah, but she's tramping.
Tramping.
So do you know that the origins of the word tramp come from a particular walk that certain women do when they're trying to allure men? Hence the term, she's tramping, because she's walking like a tramp.
See, I mean, I automatically went to Lady and the Tramping. Like, yep. not you know, how your wife went. Yeah, I can't comment, but I can tell you I did not catch it because I was multitasking at this point and didn't rewind. I wasn't kind and rewound. But apparently there were some interesting camera angles during this match is what I've read on our board. So,
yes.
I'm sure there are screen captures all over Twitter by now.
So that she was tramping all over the internet.
Among other things.
My wife also then commented, like, she just made this, she just said, I said at one point, Tiffany hits the sliding D during the match, and the winning line of the night is, yeah, I'm sure that's not the first time she's got a sliding D.
Oof.
She's like, man, Boudreaux had me dying tonight. I was like, Trez, throwing the heat at Tiffany Stratton.
So that's sad.
Now I just want a match between my wife and Tiffany Stratton.
That would definitely be interesting to
happy
watch.
For me, not happy watch for, happy for me. So I'm just there giggling through this whole match. Tiffany has a really good match. She goes right after Bianca's bad wheel and trips her up. Eventually we get Bianca trying to hit the KOD, but selling the knee. Stratton flips off. She does hit that sliding D. She also, Bianca hits a crazy German where Tiffany lands on her face. Bianca tries another move, but we get the eye rake. There's your sliding D. And then at the end, she goes for the moonsault off top, but Bianca catches her KOD for the win. Greg, this was a great match. And despite Tiffany Stratton's wardrobe issues, her tramping around the ring, I think that I'm happy Bianca won, because I don't want to see Tiffany lose to Nia.
Wait, why would she lose to Nia?
Oh, we'll get there.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But Tiffany, I think Bianca having the knee injury gets her an out whenever she loses in this tournament.
Yeah. All right.
So, was this a good match? Like, did you enjoy this?
On so many levels.
On so many levels, as did the guys on our board, and also several cold showers were had after this match.
I would strongly suspect that's what happened.
So we then get into recap number two. God, I love Logan Paul. He is such an easy to hate heel, and he does a great job. So this is our contract signing from last week, which you missed. We gushed over that last week, and I think we should gush over this a little bit tonight, because Logan Paul's in the back. He runs into LA Knight, and LA Knight's coming out of the office, and they just stare each other down. I hope this is the direction we go at some point. It's got to be.
You think it will?
I hope so, because I think they missed the opportunity at WrestleMania with these two, and I hope that somebody's going to beat Paul at some point. We know he's not losing his title until after he appears on pay-per-view with his brother. But after that, I think all bets are off.
Think so?
I would guess. I think he's going to be a Money in the Bank too, but that's just wishful thinking.
Fair. All right.
So Solo is there with Paul. This is like the best version of As the Bloodline Turns. Can you tell that I found my sound effect board, Greg?
I did, in fact. You literally found the sound effect board.
Literally found a board where I can press buttons. So, Greg, I love this because it was enough Bloodline that's like Paul Heyman's worried that Solo has contact with Roman Reigns and he doesn't. Like, just a little bit of family drama, but not a lot of dialogue.
No, I think that's a very accurate description of what we have here.
It feels like the show was moving. Like, we had a ton of these little backstage segments that kept setting up seeds for another day. And whether that's Logan Paul and LA Knight, whether that's the Bloodline stuff, it's just lots of seeds were sown.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fast-moving show, I've got to say.
Plus, I missed the Bloodline recap, but just so I can. Recap number 3. LA Knight cuts a promo. He basically talks about Tommy Tango and that he hasn't been here very long. He's interrupted by Mello, who comes out, and he's talking about getting his opportunity. He gets in his face. He said, you know what? He compared himself to Tom Brady because Mello keeps talking about his draft pick status, and he's like, nobody remembers who was drafted first with Tom Brady. And I was like, there are sports fans. Some sports fan has to remember who was drafted the first year Tom Brady went middle of the draft. But it doesn't matter. Mello's not important, and he's looking past Orton, and he should be focusing on him. Both these guys should have been focusing on their opponents rather than looking past them.
No, that's very true, too.
Okay, so did you see the post I made on the board about Mello?
No, I don't think so.
So whenever I think about Mello, I think about the Nintendo character from Super Mario RPG. The big, fluffy, white guy named Mello.
I don't remember him.
Well, it's the post is on the board for the Nintendo fans there. Tonga comes out with a Bloodline. This is going to be a match. And he is going to wrestle LA Knight. Did you know that that both of the Haku's kids are part of the Royal Bloodline?
I am going to have to start a board to try to keep track of the various bloodlines at this point.
Well, no, they're not part of the bloodline that way, Greg. They are part of the bloodline because Haku was a former King of the Ring.
Okay, fair. Fair. There's way too much of this shit going on.
I forgot to put the rim shot in on the board. Oh, well. Anyways, it's one of those
things. Shoot and post.
Oh, no. It's got to not post. That's why I put the board over here, so I don't have to do any of this stuff. Anyways, point being is that this match was great because LA Knight only has a couple moves, but this whole match led to a bloodline interference from the outside where LA Knight didn't lose because he had a good match. There was a back and forth bit, but he lost because he spent too much time staring at Solo and he got that jumping flatliner. And yeah, Tama Tonga hit him with a jumping flatliner out of nowhere and flattened him. It was great. It was, he has like a version of an RKO out of nowhere.
And that's fair, but I also now, I don't know if I even want to see LA Knight on my TV anymore.
Like, no, he is the perpetual, he is your classic upper mid-carder.
That's a nice way to say it.
Well, okay, he's like Hacksaw Jim Duggan or Tito Santana from the 80s, or in the 90s, he is like, I'm trying to think of it, like, he's like, X-Pac when he was a face, or he is that guy that gets the fluky wins, but never really gets a big one.
I was going to say, it almost feels, I hate to say it, but the name that comes to my mind is Mick Foley.
Yeah, but except that Mick Foley actually won a world title.
Yeah, fair.
And I don't think LA Knight's getting anywhere near that world title anytime soon.
Yeah.
And nor should he at this point. He has cooled off significantly.
No, I mean, the fans will love to cheer it, and that's fine and good, but yeah. When's the last time LA Knight won a match that was of any consequence?
Last week he won his... Oh, wait, you're right. He didn't even win that on TV. He won it at a house show. Ouch. Yeah,
right? Like, but, I mean, of consequence. Like, when's the last time he was in a big match that he won?
the match that got him into his match with Roman Reigns.
Was that the one prior to like
the Roman
Saudi Reign. Show or something?
Yeah, something like that. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
Maybe, oh, AJ Styles at WrestleMania, but which AJ gave, he took the L right after WrestleMania.
Yeah, but I mean, that wasn't even a, I can't even consider that a match that was of consequence or, yeah. Like, I can't remember the last time that he was in a match that had some, like, big stakes or something attached to it. I mean, the WrestleMania match was, they built it up.
A blood feud.
Yeah, but it was, yeah. I came to your house, whoopee.
A little bit of home invasion, no big deal.
Yeah, like.
Greg, I think I'm in a very good mood and you're very tired, so we'll keep the show moving.
All right. Dude,
Mello was in the back and mouthed off to LA Knight, and they had to be pulled apart by the guys in the stripes.
Yes, the refs were working hard tonight to keep people separated.
Logan Paul versus Cody Rhodes. We get the entrances. Cody talks about the importance of this place. This is Jacksonville. This is where the best War Games match happened back in 1992. But of course, Logan doesn't know that because he's a tourist. Then he wants him to sign the contract. Turns out Logan Paul is not interested in signing the contract. Cody talks about being two belts, but Logan actually has a new contract that the stupid lawyer almost spoiled by opening the briefcase too early. He tears up the old contract and tries to get Nick Aldis' face. Nick Aldis leaves because Cody asks him to leave because he knows he's getting fired up, alluding to their history as opponents. And then eventually Cody gets so fired up by the taunts of Logan Paul to sign said contract. There's a fight. He puts one of Logan's entourage through a table. Greg, there's some great lines in this, which where you didn't break down in detail, but unless you have any ones that you want to highlight, I thought this was a better than average contract signing.
I thought that Harvey Whippleman was the lawyer in this segment.
Oh, we're definitely calling this guy Harry Whippleman because he had that big afro carrot top thing going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Harry Whippleman, Greg, works as a nickname. You just renamed him. Harvey Whippleman is the lawyer with no hair. Harry Whippleman is Logan Paul's dorky lawyer, who I thought was going to be the one eating the powerbomb.
Yeah, I thought so too.
We got a couple more weeks left till Saudi Mania. Maybe we'll get a few more powerbombs.
It's next week, dude.
Yeah, we got one more SmackDown.
Yeah, do you think they're going to fly him over to Saudi?
Harry Whippleman? Probably not.
Yeah, see?
Some of Logan Paul's entourage is going over. ISO Speed. Do you think Jake's showing up? Or is he weight cutting the night before?
Probably. Where's the fight anyway?
Oh, Vegas.
Is it in Vegas?
Yeah, I think. Oh, no, it's maybe it's Dallas. I think it's Dallas because they got the big site fee.
Okay.
So while you're looking that up, we get the shortest match on SmackDown, Jade versus Nia Jax. Where are we? It's in Dallas, isn't it?
Yes, but it's not till July 20th.
Wait, then why did he say in 8? Oh, he must have said in 80 days. I thought he said in 8 days, one WWE legend. But so it's in 80 days, one WWE legend is going to knock out
maybe
a Paul brother.
Yeah, no, it's at AT&T in Arlington, so it's at the Dallas Cowboys Arena. Not that that's seen any, you know, Super Bowl wins or anything like that. So hopefully maybe it'll see some winning ways.
Well, speaking of winning, that's not what Jade was doing. She got her first loss in WWE in this next match versus Nia Jax, which we alluded to earlier. I mean, essentially this match spills to the outside. There's like throwing each other into things, and Nia's going to hit. Nia wins by mouthing off to Jade's kid and telling her, your mom sucks.
Oh, yeah. That was...
The kid was awesome. The kid yelled, "No, she doesn't."
Yeah, I don't know if that was necessary.
It was, listen, the kid almost got traumatized because mom almost got hit in the head with a chair, which she sort of blocked. I think she might have clipped her a little bit. Yeah. But then Jade uses the chair, and that gets a DQ. So Jade loses by DQ, and then there's brawling around the ring.
Yeah, like, I have I struggle with this, like, why this is how we had Jade lose her first match.
Because they didn't want to give this match away, but they booked themselves to a corner. So they decided, hey, let's unbook the match.
Yeah. Do you know what they could have done?
Not have book the injury. Match. Yeah, you are, Greg. She could have attacked her before she got to the ring, and she would have been too injured to continue.
Yep, they could have had an injury.
Yeah, there used to be a thing, or Jade could have got counted out in her first match.
I mean, sure. I mean, if Jade's supposed to be this big thing, like, you know, you want, I hate for to say this, but, like, you want the first win to be special. You probably also want the first loss to be special, too, right? And hitting Nia Jax with a steel chair, I mean, I think we've all wanted to do that, so I don't think that that's really special.
Well, let me give you the good news. The good news is that Jade is still undefeated in, she has only lost matches by countout or DQ.
What do we now put, like, an asterisk everywhere?
They put asterisks everywhere.
All right.
She's never been pinned or submitted in WWE.
Sure, sure.
Speaking of an asterisk, we have to put one by DX, I mean DIY, and Birdo and Angel from
Leonardo. Oh, man, this is where I really want R-Truth.
Yeah,
I miss him so much.
It doesn't work. Them being DX, I even put that on the board. Also, we have Ciampa spill out to the outside early in this match so the commercial can happen, and we get the crazy QR code.
Yeah, and I...
Did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it, but we'll talk about the QR code when the announcers bring it up later.
Sure. We get a hot tag to Ciampa, or to Gargano by Ciampa. We get suicide dives. Ciampa, after being isolated in the ring, there is some big spots, but eventually Gargano's on the move. There's a distraction by Legado. This forces the referee catches Elektra coming down off the apron. She gets thrown out, and DIY recovers and hits Meat in the Middle behind the referee's back. Johnny wins. They win their first match. And Angel and Humberto are on job duty and now on SmackDown.
Yep, that's about right.
There was a couple of good lines that from A-Town Down Under about being, you know, how Austin Theory never won anything as part of the way, which is just kind of funny. But this is a great tag team to go after the titles. I really hope they win because DIY is now, if not, then they're the LA Knight of the tag division.
And that might be.
Okay, so now we're at the point where we get recap number 4. Dude, this was that psychology video from Tuesday, or the thing they hinted at on Raw. And our video tonight was like creepy picture with a kid in face paint and glowing in. And yeah, the line I made point. The code led to a whole conversation, and kid with face paint. And the close-up question says, "Do you want to meet him?" At the very end.
Yeah. So this is when the ringside announcers Corey Graves and Wade Barrett are talking about they're apologizing for the technical issues and that bullcrap and how they talk to production and no one knows what's going on. Absolute crap.
Well, and then they said, well, you remember the last time what happened with these QR codes?
Yeah. I was like, guys, it's better to just not acknowledge it at this point.
It's like the AEW hidden camera thing where they remember how they used to have to justify why there was a camera there. And it's like they overthought it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You overthought this. We get it. QR codes, we get it. If we're interested, we'll scan them.
Yeah, and leave the reveal till you need to do the reveal, not start hinting stuff by your announce team. Like, no, go away.
Speaking of over the top, AJ Styles is talking about how he lost in France and he lost in the first round of the King of the Ring, and now he's going to go talk to Nick Aldis. Are they going to talk about suits? Are they going to talk about haircuts? Or are they going to talk about, are we teasing AJ Styles retiring?
Genuinely afraid for AJ Styles to fly around the world to Saudi Arabia next week to go just talk to Nick Aldis. Is scared that he may fall off again.
Randy Orton is coming out and he's got a match against Melo, and we have a backstage confrontation between Piper and Chelsea Green and Bayley, which gets us Piper versus Bayley in Saudi Arabia next week. And we are also going to get the finals of the women's side and the men's side of the bracket next week from Saudi Arabia.
Fair.
Main event is Randy Orton versus Tama Tonga versus Melo. Melo spends this match, story of this match is him being able to counter Randy's moves. He was able to block Randy Orton's attempt at a power slam, and then Randy still hit the power slam. He blocks the first suplex on the table, and Randy still hits the suplex onto the table. The suplex on the table, though, early cracked me up, because as soon as Randy Orton got near the table, Wade and Corey Graves were like, oh, we've called enough Randy Orton matches to know how this works, and they got up from the table.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
He blocks, Carmelo blocks a punt. He then gets hit by Randy after he dodges a punt. Carmelo blocks the draping DDT, but he still eats the draping DDT. And in the end, Carmelo tries to jump, do one of his dives off the middle rope where he kind of goes for the playmaker, or where he does the leaping bulldog from behind, and instead he eats an RKO. So, like, it was a great match for Carmelo. He got some close spots, but, I mean, we knew Orton was winning this.
So, for those keeping track at home, Carmelo Hayes has been on SmackDown for, they skipped a week, but, you know, he's had three matches on SmackDown.
He's 1-2.
He's 1-2, and the one he is was against Baron Corbin. I mean, my grandmother's been dead for 20 years, and I think she could beat Baron Corbin.
Andre the Giant, Baron Corbin, book it for next year's WrestleMania.
Yeah. Like, yeah, for their big, you know, draft get, Carmelo Hayes, gotta tell you.
He's the number one draft pick during the Tom Brady draft year.
Yeah, seeming more and more like it. Like, if you want to attach the rocket to this guy, having him lose to Cody Rhodes, having him lose to Randy Orton, not the way I would start this.
Oh, you ain't lying. So we get Kathy Kelly coming in the ring. She's talking to Orton, and the Bloodline comes out, and Orton's like, you trying to intimidate me? You're trying to intimidate me. Did you forget who I am? I'm a former 14-time world champion. And next week, I'm going to show you, I'm going to go get my one title I haven't got. And next week, I'm going to introduce you to my foot and reintroduce you to the three most deadly words in WWE, RKO. Damn, Orton was hot during that promo, and it built this up perfectly. Bloodline and them stare each other down, and I'm sure the local fans got a great six-man tag.
Probably, yeah. Randy, just know how many times you've won your belt.
Just 14, dude. You're only behind. He's ahead of Triple H now.
Sure.
Oh, he's tied with Triple H. He's going to get that one more, so he'll be 15. It's only Cena and Flair.
Yeah, I guess. But, yeah, the four.
Four,
like,
14. Oh, wait,
no, 14, 14, 14.
Damn it, 14, damn it, 14.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Dude, I enjoyed this episode of SmackDown. But the thing is, you can tell the guys are way looser. It means that we get those sloppy goofs every once in a while. But everybody seems a lot happier. And whoever's booking the show, there's all those backstage things. Like, LA Knight and Melo are going to feud. They tease that tonight.
So they'll both lose.
Well, there's got it. We need a third person in this feud so they can both lose.
They can both lose. So, like, I'm sure they will find a way to have them both lose.
Piper's going to get after Bayley next week. And
do you know what? The fun thing that I thought about that when they did that segment is that they didn't say who was going to take on Bayley next week. And if it was me, I'd be like, 2-on-1.
Tag match.
2-on-1 match.
No, you
that's
didn't
what I would have done. Or that's what I would do next week, but that's just me.
They hired Broccoli Top, Harry Wimpleman.
Yeah.
And Harry Wimpleman has renegotiated the contract.
Maybe. Maybe did.
Greg, I loved this episode of SmackDown. I feel like we could nitpick a few things, but overall, it flew. And that's really all I want from my episode of SmackDown. I don't want to be like looking at my phone going, is this over yet?
Yeah, I was struggling to catch up. As you know, Brad, I was about 10 minutes late getting to you to record. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that this SmackDown actually flew pretty well. I think it's probably time we hit that music.
This is your SmackDown synopsis.
Your SmackDown synopsis brought to you by tacos. Because everyone needs a taco.
Tacos. Yeah, I could have gone for some tacos today.
Yeah. See.
Oh, you know what? I got it. Before I finish up, my gig got extended this week by a couple more weeks. So
okay.
Before my gig, well, you know, you help your boss out with a secret meeting. So, but I mean, listen, the taco place is down there. I still owe you food. I think at some point I'm in Burnside, you're in Burnside. We should go to the taco place.
No. I'll take you to the place you know in Burnside.
Okay. Oh, here we go.
There's a spot that there's a little hole in the wall spot. It has cheap beer in the middle of the day that you can go and it's just around the corner from your work, dude.
I like cheap beer in the middle of the day with tacos. All right, we have a plan.
There's no taco. There's no tacos there.
Oh. Okay, cheap beer is fine.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about, well, we had a great episode of SmackDown tonight. Greg, I have the buttons all lined up. I have my boo, my mild yeah, and my yeah ready to go. So
I was going to say, we got to change these sound effects with the amount of cooling down LA Knight has done.
Oh, yeah. We definitely have to get rid of it. So, because it would just be a lot. I mean, if we're talking about LA Knight, it's all just.
Yeah.
Man.
I think you're going to have to reprogram that board again.
We're going to have to. We'll get rid of the good yeah. We'll just keep the yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's where he's at right now.
Yeah, that's about right. All right. Let's start this off.
Our first match was Tiffy time. She was out there tramping, and yep. Bianca Belair. So what do you want to do with this one?
I think that if we tried to cut this in any way, shape, or form, that we would be kicked off this network. So I think we got to keep this.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good to me. So right. I'm trying to think about where we went next. Like, I think we're like in the middle of recap country here.
But yeah. We're in recap country, but the next match is.
No, wait, Tom. Logan Paul and LA Knight interacting outside of the office.
Listen, all this stuff. I don't care.
What about you would cut the Jade promo where she was like talking trash?
Yeah.
I cut
all this. Listen, to me, this is a what format show.
Okay, what about Paul? What about Paul Heyman and As the Bloodline Turns?
Yeah.
I just did that one. All right. It's more like the.
Yeah.
It was there.
It was there.
LA Knight's promo and Mello and them getting into it.
Again, in my mind, two losers. No.
It's more like.
There we go. That's where we're living right now. And I'm sure that that's going to be controversial. I'm sure people are going to dislike it. But right now, in my mind, LA Knight and Carmelo Hayes, two losers.
How about Tama Tonga versus LA Knight?
Yeah, I like this match.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. It was a Bloodlines match, so I think that's more like...
Acknowledge me!
There you go.
There we go. So, LA Knight and that stuff in the background, you don't want that then.
Nah.
Yeah, that was a bust. So, you know what sound I should get for what, for the LA Knight for the bust? It's like, wah, 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 wow. From the Price is Right.
Yeah.
That was definitely a classic. The contract signing. What do you want to do with that?
Oh, I think we got to keep this one for you.
Acknowledge me.
I mean, come on. It's contract signing. It was like one of the few that we haven't had Roman Reigns in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're doing with this one. Jade versus Nia Jax. Yeah, cut. Also, DIY versus Legado. Man, it's not that either of those things were bad. They just didn't need to be here on a very full show.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. This is a show that really it's the King of the Ring matches, King and Queen of the Ring matches that we want to see. Are we short, though, on matches for Queen of the Ring? Or are we missing one?
No, we got the two. We got because the Jade and the.
Oh, because girl. Okay. So, yeah.
That one was okay. Short. Yeah, it was short. Yeah. Yep. So okay. I think we need to get a medium yeah for AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's going to happen. I will give that a eh. I'm happy they put him on there.
All right.
How about Piper and Bailey? What do you want to do with that one, Greg?
Digital exclusive.
Digital exclusive. So I don't even have a sound effect.
You need to get
effect
a sound effect for digital exclusive.
It's more like, what? All right. So... Final match, Randy Orton. In our main event match, he was taking on Carmelo Hayes. Really?
Yeah.
The match was good. It just, I don't know. I was surprised. I thought you might give it a meh because of the outcome.
No, I'm okay with Randy Orton winning here. Again, it's if Carmelo Hayes is supposed to be the next big thing, don't put him in this tournament.
Or have him basically winning this match and have Orton just catch an RKO. Like, you could have had Orton sell the whole match and just get a lucky RKO.
Yeah.
And it's like, kid beat me down and had me.
You could do that, too.
What do you think about Orton's promo at the end?
Yeah, it was fire if he knows how
to count.
I mean, if he can count. Do you know what? I really wish we had the sound effect here of the Sesame Street and the pinball.
Wait. Oh, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Dun, 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 dun. I can sing anything, but probably people don't want to listen to me sing. But that was it. This was a great episode of SmackDown. Go back and watch it. And yeah, there's a ton of stuff that was good this week. It was like a very good week of wrestling. And we had you covered from stem to stern, whether that was Steve Swift's rambling reviews covering our NXT show, whether that was All the Week Geekly with Dax and Boris covering a pretty decent episode of AEW this week, or whether that was Randy C and Eric B, the Raw Dogs, covering Raw. I almost said SmackDown. You also have a Collision Catch-Up coming. You have live audio wrestling and Sunday night's main event. You have the Godfathers of podcasting, and you also had the return of Mel Ball and Andre doing some coverage from the Land of the Rising Sun and the Puro Resu. So we have you covered stem to stern here on Sunday night's main event. If you'd like to support the family, support the cause, patreon.com/SNMEradio for about $1 a week. You can get all of the shows or get some SNME swag at Chop D's. Chop D's is your home for all of the SNME merchandise. That's chopd's.com. There. Did I plug successfully, Gregory?
I think you got them all.
Good. So we're about to head out, and thank you. This is a little shorter than usual episode, but next week, don't worry. We'll be back with a very short episode, the preview Blood Money, because let's be honest, if we get it to you by 5 or 6, You only really got a 12-hour window to listen, unless you really enjoy our jokes.
And really, who does?
Maybe our wives.
See,
my son might miss them after 10 days of being in Europe.
He might.
And if not, then he can go back to Europe.
That he might do that too.
All right, so let's end with our traditional sign-off, but this time brought to you by the Usos.
And we, the boys.